In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
If you know he's worthy of your praise, wave your hands, open your mouth, and just praise him. Bless him. Call him all the names that you know. He deserves your praise. This is the reason why you were created, to show forth his praise. This is why you were formed, to declare his praise. You were created as a praiser. Open your mouth. Tell him what he means to you. Oh, you are worthy of my praise. Father, we praise you and bless you in the congregation of the saints. Thank you because there is none like you. We are gathered tonight to seek you. We are gathered tonight to hear from you. To receive your words of eternal life. And I pray, Lord, that every veil that has covered our minds from the truth, the veil of ignorance, the veil of religion, the veil of tradition, let it be consumed by the fire that is in your word. Amen. Lord, your word declares that Ananias laid hands on Saul. And he felt like scales fall off his eyes, and he could see. Every scale that has blindfolded us from the truth is falling off today. Let the entrance of your word bring light and bring understanding in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you hold the hands of your neighbor? Just hold the hands of your neighbor, close your eyes, and pray in the spirit for just 1 minute. I sense an anointing in this place. Just close your eyes and pray for 1 minute in the spirit. Go ahead and raise your voice. Raise your voice. You that is watching at home, join us as we build faith. By praying in the language of the Spirit. God is taking us from glory to glory tonight. Roho kasiba hatanandre kile hovrende kila. Mengre tekle roho zakrashta pragle hagrina subashanam bradigalasa. Kronde le grosko pronde le gebrehamala krahida farai. Let every valley be exalted and every mountain be debased. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Go ahead for 30 more seconds. Mondra hala kasila maragana malas. Monda la haba sandra kele branela kanamashi. Lingo lo rojo sana na mahana. Mombre de kile rengondo samai. Zento jalamanda radeka la rade kele rodasan. Zikola Hassanda Labakate Lebogoromo Kosia Rokobasi Brahata Lakratila Baraka Shaka Brahanela Hatila. Something is being stirred up from the inside of your spirit. Something is stirred up. There is a fire coming from the inside of your spirit. Roho Kabala Hassada. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever block me from his hands till he returns and calls me home here in the Lord. Of Christ I stand, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song, his cornerstone, the solid ground. Climb through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when striving seems, my comforter is my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. Again, I welcome you to Pneumatech, the place where God is making a mighty army by the ministry of his word and his spirit. Shake the hands of somebody by your left and right and tell them, if you are here, it is because God means business with you. Tell them, welcome to Pneumatech. Hallelujah. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Let's get straight to the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me start by announcing with all excitement and joy that Abuja Glory Summit is just 5 days away. Maybe you can do that better. Celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. It's going to be a marvelous, marvelous time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The physical venue is just Abuja. But as long as it's being streamed on the internet, everybody in every place can connect to what God is doing in that meeting. And like the theme of the meeting is, it is truly going to be a release
of the Spirit like never before. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So pray along and let's trust God for a mighty, mighty moment in His presence. Friday and Saturday, 19th and 20th. Other details are already on the flyers online. And everything is getting set over there. And I think we should just take a minute to pray for that program. This is the third Glory Summit, and God has really been faithful. Amen. So let's pray and ask for the supply of the Spirit of God and the abundance of grace for that meeting in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and let's pray for 1 minute. Open your mouth and let's pray. Ask for a supply of the Spirit of Jesus tremendously. Ask for a release of grace. The God we serve is the God of all grace. Ask for an overflow of His grace. Ask for an overflow of His grace. Let every need be supplied. And we pray for those who are traveling in to Abuja for that meeting, for journey mercies all the way. And let Jesus be glorified. Let souls be won and let the saints be edified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So get ready. This weekend is going to be an amazing time. And those of us who are watching from Abuja, see you this weekend by the grace of God in Jesus' name. And the weekend after that, we will be in Yola. Amen. So more announcements so to come. And then those of us in the city of Yola or in the state of Adamawa, please get ready. It's going to be an amazing time. Amen. And for every one of us who intend to partner with these meetings, do you have the flyer ready? Okay. So you want to partner with the meeting, you want to sow a seed, you want to contribute financially to what the Lord is doing. The details are on the screen, whether you are watching online or you are right here in this auditorium. You can copy those details and trust God to give as you have been blessed. Money is important in the spread of the gospel. Amen. With more resources, we can reach more for Jesus. Amen. So you do that, and the blessing of these programs, you'll become a partaker of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get to the Word of God. I want to teach us briefly, and then we'll pray on what I title Your Wilderness Seasons. Your Wilderness Seasons. I want to believe, as the Holy Spirit has inspired this word in my heart this season, that what you will hear today, for many of you, it will help you make sense of where you are, what you are going through, and what you will need to do, just in case you realize that you may actually be in a wilderness season or a wilderness experience at this time of your life. This teaching will help you make sense of what is happening with you, and then grant you the strength, the courage, and the grace to partner with the Holy Spirit till He accomplishes that which He intends in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And if at any point in the message, just keep your handkerchief close by for those of you who may cry, because I may be as detailed as possible and touch some wounds. Not to inflict injury, but, you know, just to elaborately paint the picture of what a wilderness season really is. And it may just be a similarity to what many of us may have gone through or may be going through. So, if you are the type that can be emotional, keep your handkerchief and your tissue papers close by. Amen. But the idea is not to get you emotional. The idea is to bring you enlightenment, to bring you hope and comfort, and to teach you how to navigate these kinds of seasons. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season. To everything there is a season. In Maiduguri, what season are we now according to fruits? Mango. And I heard from a doctor that the most important vitamins that you need in your body is always domiciled in the fruit of a season. So if this is mango season, eat mango very well. Now, for those of you that have an uncanny lust for mango, it still does not rule out the law that too much of everything is not good. Right? But eat enough of it so that you can get all the, because that's the fruit for the season. Right? There's also another crop that I think we are beginning to come into the season. Corn. AKA mouth organ. If I catch you eating corn on the road, if I catch you, I don't care whether you just got born again yesterday or you are a pastor. If I catch you, a Pneumatech member, eating corn, that your mouth will become the organ. In Jesus' name. So buy enough of it and eat. You know, it's a good combination when you eat corn and coconut. God better padlock the storehouse of heaven. Because when we get to heaven, some of you, the store in heaven will not allow it to rest. Amen. Your wilderness seasons. For somebody, you may want to write your wilderness experience. Luke chapter 4 from verse 1 to 4. And then we rejoice as we dwell in your righteousness. We celebrate. Is that the song I wanted to sing? No, that's not the song I wanted to sing. Yeah. Now arise, O Lord, come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might, and then we'll rejoice as we dwell in your righteousness. We celebrate your life. Luke 4, 1 to 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, keep the scripture. So you know that what you are going to read next was not a mistake. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, I think this screen in front of me has gone to a wilderness, is going through a wilderness experience. Amen. Oh, and by the way, let me apologize for this other screen by this side. I think it is time for us to do something about that, okay? The lines on the screen will not allow you to have good visuals. But soon enough, we'll change it in Jesus' name. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into where? Being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And he was still filled with the Holy Spirit, even though he was in lack. He was still filled in the Holy Spirit. He was still in the will of God, even with the negative situations he was going through. And the first person to come and visit him was the devil, who said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." In other words, just end this suffering. There's no reason for why God should have sent you here to suffer. You have the power. Turn stones to bread and eat. Later, God will explain to you why he brought you into the wilderness and kept you hungry. But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Your wilderness seasons. Luke chapter 1 and verse 18.
So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Another word for wilderness is desert. So we can be flipping within the words wilderness and desert. Now, let's try to understand what a wilderness is. First of all, start with a very common explanation for the word wilderness. The dictionary says that the wilderness refers to a natural environment on earth that has not been significantly modified by human activity. Meaning, it is a place that has not come.
Thank you. It is a place that does not experience human habitation or human activity, and as a result, it is a bare or desolate place. You will know when human beings are living in a place. All right? The presence of humans, being very intelligent beings, will warrant that that place is well kept and clean. And the natural resources of that place will be exploited again and again. But a place where nobody has lived in is usually barren or bare. Sometimes it can even grow to become a forest. But in the case of a wilderness, it is usually untamed, uninhabited land, where natural ecological processes dominate. Biblically, a wilderness is symbolic to mean a place of both physical desolation and spiritual transformation. And we'll get to explain that. First and foremost, physical desolation. A place of physical desolation. It is an empty wasteland. That's a word that you must understand. Wasteland. When they say a place is a wasteland, it means not cultivated, not habited, bare, just like that. Sometimes you may not even find grasses or much of plant life going on there. Most times, if you are in a real wilderness, like a desert, it is usually lacking in moisture and water. And so survival in a wilderness becomes very difficult and critical. That's the natural meaning for the word wilderness. However, biblically, because of the physical state of a wilderness, being that it is a wasteland or a desolate place, the spiritual meaning of a wilderness, according to the Bible, is a place of deep transformation. It's a place of testing. And also a place of refuge. A place that becomes a simulated, or a place that simulates an experience for preparation. Preparation to enter a new calling. Preparation to enter into the purpose of God. Now think of it, when the children of Israel left Egypt, the goal was to take them to the promised land. And God gave them all kinds of promises. He said that the promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey. Imagine. He said that there were wells that they didn't have to dig. Trees that they didn't plant. They would eat bread without scarcity. It was a place of abundance. But before getting to that promised place of abundance, they were going through
a wilderness. And the wilderness they went through was the exact opposite of where they were going to. And sometimes when you borrow that illustration from the Bible, sometimes the process involved to make you become what God desires out of your life is usually the exact opposite of what God wants to make out of you. Sometimes the path to where you are going to is the direct opposite of your destination. God was taking them to a place of abundance, but they went through a place where they lacked bread. In fact, that was the first problem that they had. First of all, the water they saw was bad, and God healed the water and they drank. The next problem was there was no food. Yet God told them, I'm taking you to a land of bread. At least the journey should be encouraging enough. How many of you have ever been on a journey to a place or you are going somewhere, and the place, you know, they reach the place. You keep going and going and going and going and going and going. You lost here, you come back. You lost there, you come back. And the path towards where you are going to, again and again, you have to reason and ask yourself, if there are people living where I'm going to, this place that is leading me to that place does not look like if people are staying here or not. That's how a wilderness experience is. And so many people will give up because of the experiences they face when they are going through the wilderness that connects them to their promise. But then, because you cannot avoid wilderness seasons in your life because it has been authorized by God, and today we are going to see the importance of wilderness seasons and what they will lead you into. Because it's inevitable to escape wilderness seasons, it's important that we carefully label and help you understand what it is from biblical concept, so that it will help your journey towards purpose, towards the manifestation of your calling, towards the fulfillment of destiny. Because everybody, one way or the other, will experience a wilderness season. It's not if it will come, it's when it will come. You have to prepare. And the thing with God is, God hardly tells you are about to enter wilderness. Hardly. In fact, if God ever tells you, there are two things involved. It's either God loves you so... First thing is, if God ever tells you you are about to enter a desolate season, a wilderness season, it means that it will be so wilderness enough that you will almost give up. So God wants to cushion your suffering. That's why he's telling you ahead. You know, Pro Max. It will really be Pro Max. Or if you ever get to know you are about to enter a wilderness season, maybe it wasn't God that directly told you. Maybe you met a believer or a man of God who, because of his intimacy with God, is able to peep into God's plan for your life and then gives you a window that God is going to bless you September, amen, but July there will be some obstacles. Now, that's not God telling you, but that man, because of his intimate relationship with God, and that's why every Christian must desire intimacy, because when you are intimate in your relationship with God, you come into one of the authorizations of sonship, and which is that you have access to the will of the Father. You can know what is contained in the will of your Father God, not only about your life, but even about people. I watched a video of a young pastor, and he said he went to meet a man of God, and the man of God gave him a prophetic word. He said, you have a ministry, you are so and so and so. Accurate man of God, very accurate. He went to test if the man of God's prophetic gift is accurate. And the man of God told him his name, told him a lot of things about you. This is accurate. And then the man of God said, I saw you entering prison. He said, no. Hold on there. He said, but before you get into prison, there's an offer that they will bring to you.
If you accept it, you will destroy your life. If you reject it, you will end up in prison. The devil and the deep blue sea. Which one do you choose? And true to the man of God's word, in less than a year, the guy found himself in Kirikiri. And one of those nights while he was sleeping, or no, in the afternoon, he was sleeping outside where they were walking in the prison. He had a dream and the man of God appeared to him and smiled and looked at him and said, called his name and said, how are you? He said, hey, come here, let's talk. And the vision left. And for the next 3 months, he had no vision at all. Then 3 months later, the man of God came to him and said, are you calm now so that we can talk? He said, why now? Wilderness seasons. What are wilderness seasons? Wilderness seasons, number one, are seasons of lack or insufficiency. We saw that in the life of Jesus where we read in Luke chapter 4. Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, the desert. And he had nothing there. Fasting for 40 days and was hungry and there was no food. Wilderness seasons can be, figuratively now, can be seasons of lack and insufficiency. It is normal not to enjoy abundance of resources when you are going through a wilderness season in the journey of life, or when you are going through a wilderness experience. For some, it may be lack of financial resources. Many. For some, it may be lack of material resources. For some, it may be lack of other resources needed for you to thrive. It can also be, you may not be experiencing lack as it were, but you have just enough for yourself and not so much. That lack can also transcend into lack of spiritual nourishment. Yeah, not just lack of natural nourishment, which is food. Wilderness seasons can also be seasons where you may not have dreams, you may not have visions, God may not be speaking to you. The Bible will become like your language. Praying is a burden. It's like spiritual dryness. That can be another phase of lack and insufficiency in the wilderness seasons. And you saw that in the life of Jesus. For 40 days, you think that God will be talking to him from day 1 to day 40. No. The Bible says all he was met with was temptations from the devil. The same God who spoke at the River Jordan, this is my beloved son, was nowhere to be found. There was no physical food. There was no spiritual food. All he had to sustain him was the last thing he had before he entered the wilderness. So wilderness seasons may be seasons of lack or insufficiency. Mark chapter 1 verse 11 to 13. Let's look closely into Jesus's wilderness experience. You see, it's good that we look into the life of Jesus as believers, because almost everything that we will become has been carefully expressed in the life of Jesus Christ, such that there is no experience you are going to go through now or you have gone through that Jesus did not go through. Then a voice came from heaven. This was at River Jordan when Jesus was baptized. There was a spectacular wonder that happened there. The heavens were open. Light shone over him. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Nothing as spectacular as that drew attention from the whole crowd to Jesus. That's a good way to start ministry. From there, just launch Voice of God Ministry International. They must believe. After all, they heard the voice, isn't it? They heard the voice. They saw the light. You can even boldly put it like this. I am the voice of God Ministry.
No need to add incorporated. The corporate affairs of heaven have incorporated it. Even if somebody from corporate affairs should know that this thing is in God, a voice spoke. They saw the wonder. Let's continue the reading. That's why God is not man. Immediately after that spectacular encounter, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, notice the choice of words. The Spirit drove. Not the Spirit suggested, enter wilderness. You know the reply that will come from that. Not that the Spirit counseled him and said, you need to go to the wilderness. Or not that the Spirit spoke with a silent voice, wilderness, wilderness. No, the Bible says the Spirit drove him. That means after that encounter, when he slept, he will see himself in the wilderness. And everything around him is telling him, you need to go there. Let's continue the reading. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days. No ministry. No Voice of God Ministry International. No protocol. No usher. No partner. No helper. All he had there was Ekwensu to tempt him. And to add salt to the injury, he was with the wild beast. You dodge Satan's temptation, snake will pass your leg. There's a scorpion behind you when you are praying. And he was doing that with hunger for 40 days. While life in some of you would have run out of that place. Say, no, this must be the voice of the devil driving. No, I rebuke this voice. In the name of, some of you have relatives that love you. They will come and chain you and carry you from there for deliverance. Because only a fool or somebody possessed will leave such an encounter and enter the wilderness. And literally, it happens for many of you. When you enter a wilderness season, when in your life, when you are trying to make sense out of it, if you are not careful, you have so many people around you who love you so much that in their love for you, they are about to destroy you and cut short your destiny by trying to ease your suffering in the wilderness season of life. They will give you all kinds of good advice. Maiduguri is not good for you. Go to Abuja. With this your course, with this your certificate, you will prosper there. What are you doing there? Can't you see the town is already choking you? Leave and go somewhere. Then the next day, somebody will come and show you that he just applied and got UK visa. And this time around is easy. And then you remember that I study radiography. What am I waiting for? I can apply, write the exam and go. The next week, an uncle will call you from Australia and say, would you like to work in Australia? You see, one of the ways to know that you are really maturing as a believer, I'm not talking all this joke that many Christians are doing with their life, oh, trying to dodge, you know, their own Christianity is just by name. It's not a life. I'm not talking about that lie of a life. No. If you want to know you are truly maturing and becoming like Christ, is that you will master, one of the signs will be that you would have mastered the art of looking at an obvious open door and by your own hand closing the door. Not because it's not an open door, but because you have grown in spiritual intelligence to know that the will of God is not in that open door for you. Until you get to that point, you are not yet a matured Christian. Until you can see opportunities and look beyond the opportunities. Until the question of purpose becomes stronger in your heart than leverage.
But it's so sad that many Christians don't like this part of, that many Christians don't want to mature. They don't want to grow. They don't like this part of Christianity. It gives them nightmares. It gives them migraine headache. Just the miracle side is enough. And you wonder why they are babies continuously. So, the wilderness season can be a season of lack and insufficiency, just like you see Jesus experience. However, let me say this in all sincerity and all humility. Not all lack can be attributed or should be attributed to being a wilderness experience. And I don't say this to make a mockery of some people's current experience or state or status. But in truth and in reality, not all lack is a wilderness experience. Some lack is not wilderness, it's ignorance. Some lack is laziness. Some lack is that the last season of abundance you have, you wasted it. So you are paying the price for the next season. Because when somebody eats all the crops during harvest, he will cry in the time of sowing. Right? So don't say that everybody going through lack today. I'm not speaking. Somebody will not say, oh, this lack I'm going through is a wilderness experience. Maybe God will comfort me today. No. For you, it may be God telling you, you need to wake up and walk. Okay? So not all lack. Remember, in a wilderness season, God is the one that leads you there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, God being a loving father does not want to see his children lack. The Bible says, if he did not spare his son for us, but gave him for our sake, how much more shall he not with him freely give us all things? 1 Corinthians 3:20 says, all things are yours. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The God we serve is the God of abundance that supplies all our needs. So if God himself now leads you to a season where you are experiencing lack, it has to be purposeful, it has to be deliberate, and it's because you are going through a wilderness experience that carries with it the trademark of divine purpose that should be perfected in your life. So not all lack is a wilderness experience. Some people sadly are lacking because they have wasted all the seasons of abundance. And I pray that if you are here and you are going through lack and it is not designed by God, God will show you mercy and bring you into abundance. And I also pray that when God brings you into the abundance, you will receive the wisdom today to know that that abundance is first to bail you out from debt, number one. Then number two, to give you enough sense to know that what you do with this season of abundance will determine if you will have many more seasons of abundance or you will return back to lack. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Because life is in cycles. Seasons are cyclical. There is a season for sowing. There is a season for reaping. There is a season for plenty. There is a season for famine. What you do in the season of plenty will determine how you will last in the... Remember the story of Egypt? 7 years of abundance. And seven, not five, not three, not two, 7 years of lack. So what you do in the season of abundance would determine. There's a book I want to write recently, The Motion of Money. And I talk about this cyclical and linear flow of money and all of that. And so God expects that you receive investment intelligence and you will not receive that one from heaven. You can go and learn it. Go and learn financial strategies that can help you know how to save, know how to manage, know how to multiply, know how to invest and reinvest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That one, God will not teach you. No. I told you when I was teaching you on financial dominion, there are two categories of laws. There are spiritual laws and natural laws. The combination of these two categories is what we call kingdom laws for financial dominion. That's why there are laws. That when you obey and practice them, you don't need God to be there to supervise that you will live in perpetual abundance. So when you invest
and you get the dividends. If you swallow everything, the dividends plus the capital, guess what will happen? You will enter into lack again. But you invested before and profited. But because you did not continue the cycle, I think God is merciful when He allows us to gain authorization over some laws. That you have the power to live in sustainable abundance if you obey certain laws. I think God is merciful for that, isn't it? Yes. In those days, you have to wait for rains to fall before you plant. But now there's even what they call dry season farming. Rain or no rain, agriculture can continue. So why wait and say, oh, there's no rain. Oh God, send us manna from heaven. When the rain comes, we'll go and plant. Abba, there's well. You can fetch water and water your crops. You can do irrigational farming. So you see that God begins to rest in our lives when we begin to exercise the wisdom He has given us as intelligent beings to learn and master natural laws that will even put you at the cutting edge of your counterparts in the world who don't even believe in God and prosper. Recently, Elon Musk became we knew months before now, it was predicted he will hit $1 trillion. And what was the strategy? His company entered into what they call IPO. How many of you know IPO? Not investigative police officer. Do you know what IPO is? Go and browse it. That one, I didn't receive it from heaven. I learned it. You can go and learn it. See, that's the problem with many believers. What you can learn from school, God will not need to teach you again. Divine sovereignty is relaxed when human capacities is human potential is put to work. The largest IPO ever, his company entered into it, and then more investors came in, and $1 trillion. That's the combination of the economy of Nigeria, South Africa, and which other. If you distribute $1 trillion, which is his wealth, to every Nigerian, out of 240 million Nigeria, each Nigerian will have at least 6.4 or 6.7 million naira. One man. And he has never come out to say, I'm a child of God. I'm the son of the kingdom. Natural laws. Say amen. Natural laws. Sometimes I think our problem is we spiritualize everything. It's not everything that is spiritual. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As I'm talking to you now, energy is leaving me. Moisture is leaving me. How will it be replaced? And I will get tired and stressed. It will not be replaced because an angel will touch me from heaven and say, be revived. Now lie. You know, some of you look at me very and just think there's an anointing that just makes me do everything. No, sir. Sometimes now food. When I live here, I need to eat a very good food. And for me to eat that food well, don't call me and disturb me. I need to eat the food well and then sleep and rest. Today I had to take some hours to sleep in the morning because I had headache because I didn't sleep in the night. That one was, I laid hands on the head. The headache didn't go. So I went back and slept. When I woke up, the headache left. Not everything is spiritual. Amen? So, wilderness seasons, see, at what, just one point. But I think we have learned something from there. Yeah. Wilderness seasons can be seasons of lack and insufficiency. Number two. Wilderness seasons can be seasons of stagnation. No moving anywhere. Career is not moving forward. It looks like you are in one place. Of course, you know what stagnation is. You are not really experiencing advancement in any aspect of life. That can be a wilderness season. Even though God is with you. And sometimes, even in the midst of stagnation, your spiritual life is blossoming. but every other thing is stagnant. It can be that you are going through a wilderness season, and God will strengthen you till you overcome in that season in Jesus' name. Number three, wilderness seasons can be seasons when your journey becomes rough and progress seems to be at a very slow rate. When your journey becomes rough and progress seems to be at a very slow rate, that can be a wilderness season. When your journey in life becomes rough, adversity everywhere, disagreement, breakups here and there. It's almost as if every day you are waiting for the next bad news. And then you are doing everything possible to thrive, but your progress is slow. It's like you are taking caterpillar steps. You may be going through a wilderness season. I mean, the children of Israel stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. A journey that would have taken them just 11 days on foot. So there are times in life when progress may be slow. May seem slow, actually. But after tonight, God will give you speed. Number four, wilderness seasons can be seasons when you are alone. Yes, seasons when you are alone. Seasons when you'd experience negligence and abandonment. Those are the seasons friends will leave you. Those are the seasons when that relationship that you thought that was all you had will finally leave. And most times they will leave without a reason. Hello? If I have a witness, wave your hands. Most times there's no reason. Till today, no reason. Stop looking for reason. The reason is you are going through a wilderness season. Case closed. In fact, because you pursue them to look for reason too much, they'll start dodging you. So just leave them. Let them rest. Seasons of negligence. And nobody faces negligence and abandonment without escaping or without experiencing depression. So that would also be a baggage. You'll always be alone, just like Jesus was alone in the wilderness. This is my beloved son in whom I am. You thought that 1,000 people would have just stood with him and said, anywhere you go with this voice, will follow you. For where? Oga, slow march to the wilderness. Nobody will till he enter. There are going to be, and let me tell you something. It is in seasons when you are alone that the issue of identity is clearly defined. And when you clearly define your identity, you no longer need validation to live. You no longer need people to prove to you or confirm to you that you are called or that God is doing something with you. And so people or no people, you can thrive. And as a result, you will gain high level concentration and focus. All that gain can only happen when you have gone through the season of being alone. Learn to be alone at some point in life. Are you hearing me? There are seasons when you will be alone. There are battles you'll fight alone. You think that with your Indomie and egg, you can bribe intercessors to gather with you. They will eat the egg and Indomie and leave you. And you'll be there alone. There are seasons when you are alone in life. You cry, you are still alone. You get angry with God after 1 week, you are even more alone. I wish I can tell you otherwise, but there are seasons in life where you will be alone. Jesus experienced it. In that wilderness, he was alone. The only company he had were wild beasts. Is that the kind of company you want? And even when he was on his way to the cross, at a point he was alone. Even the guy that said, I will die with you, denied him and swore. Imagine Peter, true to God. If I did lie, me and Madio has strike me. I don't know the man. Hey! And Jesus, the Bible says in one of the Gospels, the Lord turned and looked at him. Kai! Boy, this is your lie. Get with.
The lie was so strong that an anointing came on a cock. It crew before dawn. The cock stood up in the night and shouted, Peter! What do you do when the people you trust the most leave you? When you started that company, you and those two, three people, you struggle. Now when you are just about to hit a breakthrough, somebody submits a resignation letter. Another person tells you, I've gotten a job in another state. The third one says, I've gotten scholarship to study in the UK. Oh, as a pastor, hey, God has called me. You gather them together, convince them. And the first service, you came and you are alone with the chair. We have come to thee, O Lord. We have come. And then you have to encourage yourself that there are angels on the chairs. There are angels sitting down there. There are going to be seasons when you are alone. Those are wilderness seasons. May you find that in those seasons of abandonment and negligence, that in reality you are not alone. That God is always with you. He has a covenant with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is a covenant keeping God. That you don't feel or sense his presence does not mean he's not there. It's just that when you are in an exam hall, even if your teacher is in that hall, he'll behave invisible because you have to face that paper alone. Number five, wilderness seasons can be seasons of separation and painful consecration. Wilderness seasons can be seasons of separation and painful consecration. God will begin to separate you from relationships, separate you from people. Sometimes, depending on the peculiarity of your training and what God is doing with your life and taking you to, where he's taking you to, you can even be separated from a spiritual community. Now, this is rare. This is rare. It doesn't happen to everybody. Are you hearing me? This is rare. Most times it will happen to somebody who God has actually called into ministry. And not just ministry, a pioneering ministry. And I have to say this to strike this balance, not because I'm afraid of losing anybody. No, absolutely no. No. Everybody God brings under the umbrella of this ministry, they are well appreciated and loved by me. Because I care about people's soul. But the truth is, anybody that go, there's with somebody else that will replace that person. Because this vision is a divine mandate. And God did not send us to train air. He sent us to train people. No matter how many people graduate from a university, it will always have students. Right? Yes. So when I say that it can be seasons of separation, and sometimes depending on the peculiarity of your calling, God can isolate you from a spiritual community. It doesn't happen to everybody. It doesn't happen to everybody. Most times you will have a peculiar call. Maybe that place where you are, there's a lot of religious activities going on there, and it's no longer in sync with the dynamics of the Spirit of God in your heart. And then because God knows you are going to pioneer something, he needs to separate you from that old garment. He needs to separate you from that old system so that the new thing is forming in you can come alive. Otherwise, if you by yourself separate yourself from your church, say I'm going through a wilderness, you will give yourself, you have created a platform for the devil to come and destroy. Honestly speaking, if you know what it takes to pioneer a ministry, not many people are chosen for that. And I'm not saying that to scare people away. Absolutely no. I wish I had seven of three of me in this city. But unfortunately, it's not given to anybody. It's not given to everybody. People don't know the pain, the consecration, the denial that is connected to you. You cannot have your life of your own. So you have to be careful when we say separation, that it is really God separating you. Because those separations will follow with consecrations. What is consecration? It's simply God, in his way of purifying you, taking off some things from your life and accustoming you to new things, new rules, new regulations, a new kind of life. Look at John the Baptist. The Bible says he was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. And what was he eating in the desert? Locust and wild honey. That meant he fasted often. Not because he chose that life, but that was the consecration needed for his calling. God, John was called a prophet. And most times when you read scripture, part of the consecration of the prophetic ministry is genuine fasting and prayer. It's a lifestyle. If you are not called into it, don't do it. You will come down with ulcer. Because every consecration has the grace that backs it. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Even to suffer, if it is part of your consecration to suffer, there is grace that will help you suffer. That's why with all they did to Jesus, he did not die until he gave his spirit. You think a human being, a normal human being, can go through that suffering and still be alive on the cross? You have to be joking. The Bible says angels came and strengthened him, because that suffering he had to go through, it was part of the price that he must pay. So grace was given to him to keep him till the cross. Even the man that was strong, Simon of Cyrene, could not carry the cross all through. He had to give it back to Jesus. Jesus who had been flogged, Jesus who had been one crown of thorn. Remember, the last food he had was bread and a bitter soup. Is that the kind of food you eat when you want to go on a journey? Some of you want to travel on a journey, you eat eba. Say, sir, I'm not going to chop for road again. Or you calculate, you are traveling from here to Jos. You hammer swallow. Say, at least by the time I reach Bauchi, the swallow don't go, I'll buy yam. You have even calculated this yam, fried yam. You buy when you reach Kari. Amen. So wilderness seasons are seasons of separation and consecration. That's when God will begin to say no to certain things that other people can go with. And he will not explain to you why. Don't do this again. Why? No answer. Don't go here again. Why? Don't watch football again. Hey! God, no. You can't be PSG. I play. Don't watch football again. And then that thing begins to die. It begins to die. I used to like wrestling, oh. Me, wrestling, ba? I like wrestling. I don't miss it. Me, when I'm a passionate human being. If I'm following something, I follow it well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't do this hanky panky that some of you do. I follow it well. But that season came and God didn't even say don't watch wrestling. It was more fasting and prayer, fasting and prayer. And of course, when you are fasting and praying like that, that's not the time to sit down and be watching long wrestling, long season film. And then I began to lose touch with those things. Sometimes in my flesh, I'll run back and gather all the wrestling and watch everything. But as I'm watching it, something in me is dying. It's as if there's been a change inside. And right now, I don't care who is holding the belt. It's no longer a business. If I enter a place and you're watching wrestling, no problem. It's not even a temptation again. That I've lost that part, it is gone. Why? Because there was a season of separation and consecration. Wilderness season. God did it to the children of Israel. Before they got to the promised land, he separated them into the wilderness for himself. There were other nations in the promised land, but God wanted these ones to be his people. He called them a holy priesthood unto me. The word holy means to separate something. So wilderness seasons can be seasons of separation and painful consecration. Number six, they can be seasons of pain, discouragement, and despair. Wilderness seasons can be seasons of pain, discouragement, and despair. Yes, sir. Yes, my dear, pain. Even me, I don't like saying it, but it's pain, you know? Pain. Somebody say pain. Yes, sir. Wilderness seasons can be seasons of pain. I'm not talking about injection pain. I mean pain. 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 emotional pain that will almost make you run mad. The pain, even the separation comes with pain. There are things God will take from you that it will pain you. For instance, a relationship. And then 3 months later, you are still grieving over it. Now that's real pain. And how many of you know how to manage pain? Now don't look at God as a wicked God. Why will I be going through all this? There's nothing. Somebody say all this season. There's nothing good, no positive thing about this season. Yes, sir. That's because of the purpose that I will explain to you before we pray. I can tell you one thing about pain. You only find healing after pain. Sometimes healing is in the midst of pain. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That for you to live in peace, somebody paid the price. He was chastised. Do you know the word chastised means punishment? That's why they call it peacekeeping force. If it is peace they are keeping, why are they using force? Because some people must pay the price for peace. Nigeria will never know peace until we deal a decisive blow to bandits. Until we kill them and kill them. And that's just it. Forget about peace. You call those ones human beings. They are not human beings. They are cousins of Satan. They came through the backyard of hell into Nigeria. Believe me. Those ones are not human beings. The chastisement of his peace was upon, of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, stripes are wounds inflicted because of cane. Not the cane that they use for us in school. You know, koboko, horse whips. Now, those horse whips had some thorny-like substance at the end. So when they flog you, pop, it will stick to your body. It will go round and stick. And then they would draw. Is it the Roman soldiers? You think they are like your doctors in the hospital? Say, oh, let's take it out small, small. It stitches. Let's remove it. They would draw it out. And as they are drawing it. In fact, it was said that the whips were so much on Jesus that at a time, history now, that at a time, some of his ribs were exposed because of the flogging. Imagine the tissues. From the cutaneous, the subcutaneous layers, the superficial fascia, deep fascia, all the tissues going down to the muscles to expose your ribs. Pain, oh, and by those stripes we are healed. It's until you go through emotional pain that when you stand before somebody who is grieving, who is depressed, you will know what to say. You will not know what to say because you are intelligent. Those will not be the words of the mind. They will be words of the heart. Because you can relate with that pain. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And as a man of God, that's something you cannot dodge. Let me tell you the truth. As beautiful as your calling is, as glamorous and as wonderful, all those visions, I no doubt say you see them, no problem. But as they say, I'm just get ready. Because God, you will so suffer that you will even forget you saw those visions. And it is from the bank, the central bank of your suffering, that when you speak, your words will cut the heart of people. Because they just think you are delivering a nice sermon. They don't know it took you 5 years of your life to peg that sermon. In fact, there are some pain you go through. God will say, don't share this one. Don't tell anybody. It will discourage your followers. Just keep quiet and go. You will lose 25 million. God will say, shh, give me thanks. And never you mention it. Imagine. Pain. Seasons of pain. Seasons of discouragement is normal. Amen? It's a normal thing. And when you are going through, in fact, in your own wilderness experience, it will be serial discouragement. Have you seen that type before? Serial. Back to back. I remember when we were to start this work, I gathered a few friends. I told them we're going to have a partners meeting. And then I will tell them, you know, this is what God has called me to do. Okay, you people stand with me and support me and all of that. And I yes, God wanted us to have a partnership base, but I was going about it in a way that was trying to create human security for myself. And so God knew that this calling, I will need to execute it by faith. And the way I want to go about it, God knew that he will not take glory in it and my faith will not grow. So God needed to orchestrate, using the devil, a lot of disappointment that will break every faith I have in man. That partnership meeting, there was a lady who told me, I'll be there. I'll cook food. I'll do this one. I'll do that one. And I believed her. When that day came, she was nowhere to be found. Her number was not going through. Hello. I almost wee-weed in my pants that day. I'm telling you, because guys had gathered together and I was expecting that there'll be rice everywhere to encourage them, you know, so that when I say, let's partner financially, and God said, no, is this how you want to execute a global ministry? No way. These people must fail you so that you learn to trust me. That girl no como. And that was the last time I heard from her till today. This was 2018. It was Bishop. Where did you and your wife then? She was not your wife then. Where did you get that cake from and malt? Where? Confess now. That was how they saved that meeting. I don't know whether God spoke to Bishop in advance. My heart was, it was as if I had high blood pressure. The heart was already, I just saw them bringing cake. I said, oh God. That lady's number did not go again. In fact, after a month, when I called and they finally went through, all she was saying was, back with me. Back with me. It looks like a laughter, but you need to know the pain, the discouragement I went through that time. It was from one discouragement to the other. There was a time that we couldn't meet for some months. You remember? And finally, we got a church that was able to give us their play. And we are not even using instruments. It's just to gather under heat and clap hand. And then they changed the pastor. The previous one had told us, you can come and use the place. Then they switched the pastor. One came from another place that week. And he called us. And he looked at my face and said, no. He said, in fact, his plan was that he was going to wait for us to get to the hall first that day. Then he will come and drive us away. I say, at least it was not that bad. Say, serial discouragement. Then, to add to that one, I started feeling pains. Went to the hospital. They say, you have a growth in your mouth. We must cut it. I say, cut waiting. They say, we must cut it. That's how they line me up, do operation. It was a government hospital, so they could subsidize, the operation was subsidized to 2,000 naira. Your homeboy didn't have even 2,000 to pay. That's why I sat down with other patients, debtors. They sat us somewhere. We were there with cotton wool inside our mouth. And God called me. As you are laughing, be preparing for your own. Your own may not be cotton wool. Your own may be plaster. Your own may be what? Cassava. Seasons of pain, discouragement, and despair. And God will still be there. Watching everything. May God give you the grace to go through those seasons. You know what despair is? Despair is hopelessness. You have given up. Somebody now came and paid the 2,000 naira and carried me from there. As we were crossing road, I hit my leg somewhere. Wound. Pow! Leg again. That was the week they now finally allowed us to use that place. You remember, it was sand as I wore to church that day to preach with the man. Zax, were you there? Where is Zax? You were there, right? So I hope I'm not speaking the way they are looking at me now. They're looking at my fine shirt. Hey, will not be my fine shirt, oh. Are you hearing me? Mm-hmm. Number 7. So that somebody will not get hypertension, because if I stay on this point too much, somebody may just faint. Wilderness seasons. You know the end? You know the end, oh. Number 7. There can be seasons of hiding, where God will hide you. Great career. Master's degree. 2 masters. PhD in view. He will hide you. How? No job. And even the one you call a job, even an undergraduate cannot hold that one as a job. He's hiding you. Or they will employ you in a place where your superior, you have more degree than your superior. He's hiding you. Sometimes God can hide you by keeping you in an organization for a long time. Even you know you are more qualified than this place. But why am I here? It could be that he's hiding you. Just like he hid David in 1 Samuel 26. David was a man that understood the wilderness. And in 1 Samuel 26, at that time, the wilderness for him was a place of hiding, because Saul was going to kill him if he came out. Was he not the one Samuel anointed? He was the one Samuel anointed. He was the one that God said, I found a king after my heart. But just because he was anointed king, his head was sought after. There are times when God knows you are not ready for manifestation, and he will hide you. Everything you do to gain visibility, God, something will just keep watering it down. No matter what you do, God may be hiding you. He may be hiding you. He may be hiding you. Because sometimes undue manifestations can abort your destiny. Every great calling, regardless of the profession, has antagonism attached to it. It has adversity attached to it. And you have to be mature enough to confront those adversities in the day of adversity. And so if God knows you are not mature enough, he will hide you. He will hide you. He can hide you by making you an usher in a place for 10 years. And each day of those 10 years, he's showing you a global ministry. Crowd every day. Then on Sunday, you come to church and they'll now tell you, stand at the gate. Stand there. Ah! He'll hide you. God can hide a great prophet in a prayer band. And somehow God will now allow the head of the prayer band not to like you. For no reason. So for 6 months, you will not even lead prayer or share grace. And you are a prophet to nations. Remain. That's the place for prophets to nations. Remain there. Remain there. He will hide you. He will hide you. See, don't try to fight when God is hiding you. Just stay and enjoy that place. Stay and enjoy it. God can hide you in a marriage for 5 years. Many things were happening with you before you got married. As soon as you got married, it was the will of God. The marriage was the will of God. Everything you saw that after your marriage, you saw that you started traveling here, preaching here, going for this show, going there and there. No problem. And then 5 years later, it's like a dry land. Nothing is hiding you, because there is preparation before manifestation. Number 8, finally. So that some people can rest. Wilderness seasons can be seasons of becoming. Seasons of becoming. That's the time of your life, the period of your career where God is training you. When your metamorphosis is happening, your change is happening, but you will not know. Just the way Samson, his hair began to grow again in that dungeon, but he didn't know. He had no eyes to see that the hair was growing, but the hair was growing. See, let me tell you, when you are going through your wilderness seasons, God will not allow you to appreciate up to half of the progress you have made in growth. Yes, sir. You will just keep becoming. You will not know, but you are becoming slowly but surely. like David, 1 Samuel 22. He was in the cave, and the Bible said men came to meet him, and he became a captain over 400. The seasons of wilderness experiences are the seasons of becoming. Somebody say amen to that. Finally, as we round up to pray, why does God take us through wilderness seasons? All these 8 points I gave, there's nothing good, nothing attractive, nothing appealing, nothing glamorous about a wilderness season as far as life and destiny is concerned. So why will God allow me go through pain? Why will God allow me go through discouragement? Why will God separate me from the things that I held on to as security? Let's read the Bible now. Deuteronomy 8 chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8 rather and verse 1. I beg your pardon. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1. Why does God take us through wilderness seasons? Let's extract it from the Bible directly before we pray. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. Go on. This was when they were about to enter the promised land. They had stayed for 40 years in the wilderness. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart. Look at this. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. So let's finish reading and then we'll go back to verse 2. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let's go back to verse 2. Why does God take us through wilderness seasons? Number 1, to humble us. Look at it there. It says, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you. First reason from scripture for why God allows us go through wilderness seasons, regardless of the fact that they can be very difficult seasons, is to humble us. Listen, let me tell you. There is a connection between humble and humility and humiliation. Sometimes they have to be humiliating experiences you are exposed to work out humility inside of you. Everybody claims to be humble until you are faced with an embarrassing situation, until you are faced with a humiliating experience, right? That's when you know you're not humble. For instance, when you are faced with an embarrassing situation before people and you find yourself trying to explain, you are not humble. That's pride you are trying to defend. And it is only in the state of humility that God gives grace to humble you. To humble you. God is doing something new in my life. Thank you for raising that key. God is doing something great in my life. He won't stop, he won't stop till I look just like him. He won't stop, he won't stop till I look just like him. Say God is doing something new in my life. God is doing something great in my life. He won't stop till I know just like him. He won't stop till I know just like him. He took them into the wilderness to humble them. Remember, he had a purpose for bringing them out and taking them to the promised land. The purpose was not the destination. The purpose was a heritage. The purpose was to build a nation.
The purpose was an identity, not destination. And so before God takes you to that place, I mean, a place of abundance, a place of everything you can think of, it is possible for the pride of life to come in. You know a man in the midst of abundance. You know a man in the midst of access to everything he needs. Somebody can be humble when he's undergraduate. After bagging 2 masters, that's when you know who that person is. Mistakenly, he got a government scholarship, went to Malaysia and came back. Hey! Nobody will rest. He went to Malaysia. Hallelujah. So, you see, when most times when we tell God that we are humble, God just laughs. I say, okay, I will prove it. Satan, create an embarrassing situation for him. And then you are going to the road and you wore white that day. And you are stepping out with confidence. And somebody splashes water on you. Your pride is stunk, isn't it? Yes, sir. Or they gather you people in your office. Oh, we are going to have this seminar. We are having this meeting or this and that. And they tell you, okay, you are going to do this presentation. And then for days and nights, you are working on that presentation tirelessly, rehearsing how you will do it and everything. And they say the most senior boss is coming from headquarters, the white man, this one, hey, everything. And on the morning of the presentation, your boss calls you and say, that presentation, you will not do it. So and so person will do it. I already made arrangement for somebody to do it. Or there will be no time for that. Then all my work is banza. Have you been sidelined before? It took them through the wilderness to humble them. And when you say you are humble, no problem. There will be I like God. He uses experience to prove everything. Even though he knows you more than you know yourself. A proud man will look at God and say, Father, you know I'm humble. Use me for the nations. God will say, hey, you that is the lion of the tribe of the house. Only your rice where the church yesterday, nobody go rest. Anybody that touch this food, you people don't know the anointing I carry. If I invoke God, and that's the person that wants to take nations, God will say, no problem. You say you are humble, I should use you. All right, every product I will use, I verify first. I'll take you through integrity tests. Then he orchestrates a situation. And somebody shouts on you in church. Hey! Before everybody. MD. Sometimes, maybe now God, they use it to test their humility. And the shout will be the day that your babe came for rehearsals. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The merrier, the better. The more, the merrier. Hallelujah. I remember one time they asked me to frog jump before the entire youth fellowship. Frog waiting. Jump. And I had already started seeing the grace of God in my life that time. I was the deputy Sunday school teacher. A superintendent in the church. I used to preach in service. Some people were already calling me man of God apostle. They say, what? Apostle. Squat. And there was a lady I was eyeing there that day. Even me, I didn't know how far the iron had gone until I had to frog jump. Ah! Every step was, and they were laughing. Laughing. God took them through the wilderness to humble them. Now, it's not wickedness, but listen, nothing destroys more than pride. Pride can stay, pride is the only sin that can stay in the presence of God undetected. The Bible says Lucifer was before God until iniquity was found in him. Nothing as destructive as pride. In fact, there's something called spiritual pride. Yeah. When you begin to brag in what God has helped you achieve by grace. When you begin to think it's by your fasting, it's by your prayers. And so, for God to ensure that you trust in Him and Him alone, not your fasting, you will fast one day and nothing will happen. In fact, it will be your side that will be paining you. That's a sign for ulcer. You know, it's giving alarm. Ulcer. Humble you. Because it's only the humble that he gives grace to. For God resists the proud,
but he gives grace. God cannot use proud people. Pride makes you an enemy of yourself. Pride makes you destroy yourself without demonic supervision. Pride. That's what took Lucifer out. You know, when a man is proud, nobody can talk to him. Nobody can advise you. That's a destructive, that's a very dangerous state. Nobody can talk. Everybody's afraid of telling you because you have an excuse. You know how to explain yourself out of something. You know, some of you are so intelligent that God is even wondering why he made you this intelligent. Because even God, if God asks you, you will explain. You can. God may not even know what question to ask again. Father, you know, like this and like that. You can even quote scripture and cover up and say, me? God will say, me that knows all this. You are explaining to me? Especially if you are a husband. Your wife cannot tell you anything. You have an explanation for everything. Everything. God will have to take you through a wilderness season to humble you. You will know when humility comes on you. Can I tell you one of the ways to know you are humble? You see yourself as the same in public and in private. There's no difference. Another, you will not believe this one, but another way to know that humility is being walked in you is that guilt and condemnation begins to reduce. Let me tell you something. You know, when you do something wrong, of course, when you ask God for mercy, he forgives you, isn't it? But then there's guilt because your conscience has pricked you that you are wrong. And that guilt will make you feel like the sin is still there. Maybe God is angry with you, or maybe the people around you are angry with you and all of that. Good. Now, your humility is what makes you understand the depths of the mercy of God in such a way that you know God has forgiven you and it is past tense. And after all, you are human. You could make a mistake. Because sometimes guilt and condemnation comes from self-righteousness. That's why people want to explain themselves in everything. Self-righteousness. You got to be careful. Just agree that you did it. You will not die. But when you want to add something to say, you know why I did it, that's self-righteousness talking. You always want to prove a point. If God put power on your life, if God gives you a very lucrative job, you will disgrace the kingdom of God. So go through the school of humility. And the school of humility, the teacher is humiliation. Embarrassment upon embarrassment till you are no longer, you are not careful about anything again. That's when you know you are humble. Number 2, Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. Why does God take us through wilderness seasons? He said to humble you and test you. To test you. If God knows everything, why is he testing me? Simple. To reveal the state of your heart to you. To reveal you to you. That's why he's testing you. He knows you. But since you don't believe, say he know you. See for yourself. It's just like test. In the university those days, there's a kind of test they write. They call it shotgun. Malo gedebo saiva. Everybody's just jiving and enjoying that day in class. And then the lecturer will just come in. Tear a sheet of paper. Hey! No. You know that comedy? No. And you will start seeing failure. That is almost anointed. 1/10. 0. In fact, people so fail that they now do what you call Dundee United. They are now looking for those that fail like them so that they can sympathize. That test was to just reveal your intelligence quotient as far as that issue is concerned. That's why God tests you. Now, when God tests you, it is not tempting you. Temptations and trials are different. Listen to my teaching, Fighting Temptations. I explain the difference between them. The Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither does he tempt with evil. God does not tempt. He will try you. He will try you.
Not because he wants to know you. He knows you. It's so that you can know yourself and know why you need the grace of God more. And know why when I say pray for mercy, and as a pastor, why would we didn't kill anybody now, this mercy thing. But by the time God has tested you and you have seen how you failed woefully, when they say cry for mercy, you will lie down on the ground. Because you know it's not of him that willeth nor him that runneth. Because the test has shown you your weakness. It has shown you your frailty. It has shown you how much of a terrorist you are waiting to happen. Like your last job, maybe a test. Your last job. You know how God took you from nothing to 350,000 naira. In 1 year, what have you done with that money? First for God, then for yourself. You see, he has tested you. And now you are praying. Father, renew contract. In fact, you submitted it as prayer request last week. Father, renew contract. Yes, the contract will be renewed. But go through 1 month of hunger first. So that we will test and see whether it's the job that is Alpha and Omega in your life or is God. Contract will be renewed, but that 1 month, go through it first. Let's see. And then some people, that's all they'll pray every 1 month. In fact, they'll say, Apostle taught us to pray persistently. Persistently. You are not concerned about your relationship with God. You are not concerned about knowing God more. No time for your Bible. All you are praying. In fact, you even use the prayer of the watches. 12 noon, 12 midnight, 12 noon, 12 midnight. Father, renew contract. Father, renew contract. Father, you are even calling the name of the HR or the name of the head of program. Father, I speak to him wherever he is. I call him by name. Mahaka tika la akabayaka. Ika, 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 ika. Yes. Go through 1 month first. Be tested. We'll go pray this night. Test you. Some trials are tests. There's a man called Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 32. When you read from verse 24 to 31. In fact, give us verse 30. Hezekiah was blessed by God. God fought his battle. God defeated Sennacherib on his behalf. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Next verse. However, you know, there's going to be a however in your life. Regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. What happened here was that because Hezekiah prospered and became great, God fought all his battles. The king of Babylon now sent ambassadors to him. We have heard of all that God is doing with you and all of that. And when they came, Hezekiah showed them round his palace. He didn't even talk about God. He didn't even tell them, if it's not for God, I would have not come this far. Just like some of you, God lifted you by his mercy and put you in a privileged position. Then somebody calls you out of humility and say, now, wow, I beg now, cut small soap for me. Tell me how it did be for you now. You know, I say, you know, this life, you have to work hard. You know, you have to plan. You have to be strategic. Keep quiet there. We strategic. Was it not God that picked you from nothing and gave you that job? Which strategy gave you? You remember when you wrote the interview, even you knew you had failed. Out of 3 questions, you could not even answer one correctly. Yet God showed you mercy and gave you the job. Now you are talking about strategy. Strategy fire. When those guys came, instead of Hezekiah to take them to the house of God and say, look at me. If it's not this God of my fathers, I would have been nothing. It was the God when Sennacherib sent threat letters. Do you know the kind of threat Sennacherib gave him? He told him, he said, see, you see me? All these nations, now be conquered them. Which God are you boasting in? Is it not the God of heaven that says I should come and deal with you? Imagine that kind of boast. Hezekiah ran to the house. He tore his coat, ran to the house of God, laid down. Imagine when the king tears his clothes. He went and cried before God and said, God, I'm in trouble. Help me. And God told him, you will not fight this battle. The same way the man came, he left. And an angel slew 180 something thousand of his enemies. He prospered because God helped him. The Be careful. Those of you that have now become millionaires and you are now on your way to tens of millions, hundreds of millions and billions. Remember when you were trying and failing. You were as smart then as you are smart now. If you were that smart, why didn't you succeed? Was it not God that helped you? I've seen some Christians that are ashamed to acknowledge God when God lifts them. You want to join the world. They say, no, if you bring God here, you know, they will just say, hey! Is it not God that helped you? That's what God told Saul. He said, when you were not in your father's house, I pick you. Me, I pick you. In fact, when I made you king, they didn't like you. But I made you king by all means. Then you turn and do this to me. He told Samuel, he said, forget this guy, I've left him. The Bible says God withdrew from Hezekiah to test his heart. Obviously, Hezekiah didn't care about God. He showed them his wealth, showed them his storehouses, showed them everything he had gathered. Please be careful. When God lifts you and bless you, you move into a new house. You want to invite everybody. They say, I'm coming. Hey, come. Because you want to show them that your table, your center table is imported. It came from Italy. You want to show them your wardrobe, how big it is, and it has light, lightning inside, neon light. You want to show them your mirror, show them your makeup kit. Be careful. Don't be like Hezekiah. Guess what? The people of Babylon that he was showing those things to, years later, it was still Babylon that came and conquered them and took those things away. God takes you through wilderness seasons to try your heart. To pray for 1 minute and say, Lord, even me, I don't know my heart. But if there's anything that will betray your trust in this season, as you are dealing with me, deal with that thing. Open your mouth and pray. As we ground up tonight, open your mouth and pray. Lord, try my heart. Test my heart. Anything that is not like you, take it away. Pray. Don't wait till the days of abundance. Don't wait till the days God lifts you. I tell you, it will be more difficult. Now is the time for God to expose self. Now is the time for God to expose everything that is a traitor in your heart. Ma parata sokobo la haratele geborokosia in the koria balahasana nama. Hallelujah. You know that song, holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. That's the song we used to pray tonight. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. I like the chorus. Take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, oh Lord. Take my heart and mold it. Take you through wilderness season to test you, try your heart, to expose self. Self is what makes you consider only you. Self is what makes you seek security above divine preservation. Self. Do you know that one of the disciples of Jesus, one of the guys around Jesus, his name is Mark.
the one that wrote the book of Mark, when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden and everybody fled, he so ran that he left his clothes and ran naked. No, before you start with Peter denying Jesus, imagine now, he ran naked. Self. And yet they followed Jesus every day. Listen, when God is... sometimes God will also test the people around you. He will test their heart. He will lift you and test their heart. Some of them will say, since he started making money, he has not given me anything. Since I started coming here, apostle used to give people money, has never given me money. Ah, so it's because of money that you are coming. Since I've been submitting to apostle as a son for 7 years, he has not given me anything. Is that why you have been following? Is it money you are looking for? Sometimes God blesses you to test the people around you so that you can see them. Test. Number 3. Why does God take us through the wilderness seasons? Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. We'll round up now and then pray. Quickly, please. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. To humble you and test you and to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. Go on. So he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 4. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. And then you read on and on and on. You see that they suffered. They suffered hunger. They suffered thirst. They suffered many things. God leads you into wilderness seasons to expose you to sufferings. I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but it is lovingly true. To expose you to sufferings. Because it is only in times of sufferings that God can deal with your flesh. Listen, there is a part of you that is called the flesh. Of course, when I say flesh, you think I'm talking about your skin. But your flesh is the nature of sin in your body. Of course, this your body is made of flesh, literally. But the figurative meaning of flesh is the nature of sin in your body. Your body has desires. And your body does not care if you like these desires or not. Or if these desires are compatible with your destiny or not. Or if these desires will put you into trouble or not. As far as your body is concerned, if it is hungry, you must do everything to satisfy the hunger, even if it means steal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Those days when we're staying in Lagos, in Iyanasashi, there was a compound before us. It was just fenced. Bush. They had not done anything there. And they had fruit trees, pawpaw, coconut, and all of that. And the Son of Man used to go with his friends to steal in Jesus' name. And as small as I was there, we could climb the fence and jump down. Once we enter inside, climb the tree, pluck the pawpaw. Now your own, no be your own. But we'll remove it to eat. Free. Then one day we jumped inside. And as soon as we land, somebody just moved grass on the ground and we saw a green snake. Come and see. We didn't jump over. We flew over. When I think of it now, because I still remember the fence. White House was the name of that our house. White House. Number 13, Babudu Street. I still remember that. This is like maybe 20 years or so ago. You see how the snake just revealed. We didn't climb again. No, you won't go there. You saw green snake under green grass. The next time you see black snake. There is a nature in you called the flesh. That nature is not born again. And it will never be born again till Jesus comes. That nature is responsible for your desires. Like hunger. Like thirst. Like sex. Even waka waka is a desire, you know. You're not just going up and down.
Even if going somewhere will put you in trouble. Waka waka till you end up in a nightclub. Waka waka till you end up, and then you went to see somebody where? EFCC. And then they came and raided the place and gathered all of you to their station. Say, no, I don't know anything. No, I just went to, waka waka. That's the desire of the flesh. You may not tell your neighbor you are not bad. It's the nature of your flesh. Yes, sir. That flesh, it is never born again. It is your greatest rival inside of you. It doesn't mind putting you into trouble again and again. So it is only suffering that will expose and deal with that flesh. For instance, suffering of hunger, which you suffer when you fast. No, be so? Good. And then you see how the flesh begins to behave during fasting. By 12 o'clock, your body is shaking like this. By 3 p.m., even the stomach, all the juice are coming. Tell the stomach, we die here. No, be today. Suffering. Listen, in seasons when God exposes you to sufferings, He deals with the flesh. He deals with that nature in you. Otherwise, that's the nature that will sabotage the blessings of God in your life. Haven't you seen Christians who got a position, executive director over an organization, and they stole company assets in a powerful way? You know, that's the anointing. When they come and report you and say they stole this, they stole that, you will just ask, what's the name of the person? It's a Christian name. You hear that the name of the person is Christian Chukwueze, and $5 million is missing. He has always been a thief, but he didn't know until he was exposed to that state. Yeah. So when God allows you to suffer, it's the flesh is dealing. It's not you. God does not hate you. It's that nature in you that wants to destroy your destiny. He's dealing with it. Remember the last time you did 3 days dry? On the first night, the ceiling was like the ground. The ground was like the ceiling. You don't know where you... It was almost as if you would be raptured. And the flesh said, go and eat before you die now. So you can't do 3 days. You can't stand 1 day. What of when God lifts you and then you start fighting battles that just the thought of them will make you lose appetite? You can't fast for 1 day. What of when you get married and your wife is giving birth and they say the placenta has tied the neck of the child and there's no life in the child? Shebi, you go fast that time. God deals with the flesh. He exposes the frailty of our human nature. He shows us how insufficient we are and how much we need Him. When God exposes us to sufferings, He shows us our dire need and dependency on God. Sufferings are also for the perfection of our faith. Romans 8:18, if we suffer with Him, we'll be glorified with Him. I think 8:17. Then 18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of now are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed. Allow God to take you through a season of suffering. There is a glory ahead. There are stories that the place you are going to, it will be marked only by people that have stories. Now that you want to avoid the suffering, you are trying to say you don't want to have a story in your time of glory. Allow God to take you through it. James 1 verse 2 to 4. Count it all joy, brethren, when you go through trials, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience. It is in time of suffering that you build virtue and you grow. Number 4. Why does God take us through wilderness seasons? To do us good at the end. To do us good at the end. 1 Peter 5 verse 10. But now the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory, after that you have suffered for a while. After you have suffered for a while.
He will perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Even if that a while is 5 years. Even if that a while is 2 weeks. Even if that a while is 10 years. There is good that will follow. Keep your eyes on the good. Don't just keep your mind on what you are going through in that wilderness season. Keep your eyes on the promise. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. Though our outward man perisheth, yet our inward man is renewed. He said, for our light affliction, which is... Though our outward man... These were the scriptures I used to arm myself those days when God began to plunge me to fasting and prayer. I would tell myself, though my outward man is perishing, but there's something rising inside of me. There was always a temptation to stop the fasting and go and eat. I had friends. Everybody was eating around me. But many of them that ate now, I'm not sure they are carrying what I'm carrying today, with all humility. Imagine if I ate with them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The day God says start a 21 days fast, that morning they are frying yam, yamarita, and they're just turning it in the fire with the egg like this, turning it. And that's the day they have money to buy custard and add to it. And in a house when seeing food was like Christmas Day. Today where food don't come, you want to fast again. And God said, 21 days. I tell myself, though my outward man perisheth, my inward... That was what I used to arm myself. And then you continue 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. And then 4. And then 5. And you are going like... I didn't know why I was fasting. I thought I was running mad that time. But the things I'm preaching to you today, it was the encounters of that time. It came in those seasons of fastings. There were things God did to me that time that me, I can't explain it to you, that makes me who I am today and makes me assured of where I'm going to, even if the devil has been photocopied into 10. He said, for our life affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. I knew that every time I went through this thing, there was good at the end. There was glory. There was an anointing at the end. There was grace coming. And then a season came when I began to see. That was when I began to have prophetic visions. They began to come little by little. Little by little. By mistake, I would tell somebody their name, and it was their name. Hey! And then it will encourage me to continue. There is good at the end. You don't stay in the wilderness season forever. Be assured of good that is to come. Can we continue? Number what now? To instruct and lead us. It takes you through wilderness seasons to instruct and to lead you. Deuteronomy 32 verse 10. To instruct and to lead you. It is in wilderness seasons that God will instruct. That's when you can hear his voice. He found him in a desert land alone, and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. He instructed him. He instructed him. Now that you are separated from everything, all you have is the voice of God. And then you begin to surrender to him, and God begins to instruct you. He begins to teach you. He begins to lead you. Listen. It is in the wilderness season that the voice of God can be customized to you. So that in the days of abundance and promise, when you no longer have time to pray, you will still hear that voice you heard in the wilderness. Did David not say, oh God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My flesh longeth for you. My soul thirsts for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. To see your power and your glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. There is a communication of God that you will only find in the wilderness. Because now there is no distraction and all you have is God before you. To instruct and lead us. In verse 3 of Deuteronomy 8, he said, he led you and you suffered hunger and he fed you with manna, so that you will know that man shall not live by bread. They learned a timely lesson. Because they went through wilderness season. They learned that your sustenance does not depend on what you do. Your sustenance comes from above. I look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh but from the Lord. Why does God lead us through wilderness seasons? To make and transform us. To make and transform us. Wilderness seasons are seasons where God makes you. He refines you. Everything around the condition of that season is used to refine and to make you. When God calls a man, he doesn't send him immediately. He calls you to make you. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Wilderness seasons are seasons for making. He's making you. God cannot just send you because he called you. No, sir. What do you know? Do you know the voice of God? Do you know how to stand against evil? Do you know spiritual warfare? Do you know how to contend against the gates of hell? Have you mastered the mysteries of the kingdom? Have you mastered the laws of the spirit? He calls you to make you. Don't dodge the process. Stay for him to make you. When you see a level of mastery, when somebody is manifesting, find out their wilderness seasons. They didn't skip a class. When somebody has double promotion, sometimes it will show. Jumping from primary 3 to 5. No problem. You think he's smart. When they start bringing primary 5 mathematics, which is primary 6, that's when you will not know why he shouldn't have jumped that class. Don't jump the school of the spirit. Don't jump a class. Stay in that wilderness for God to make and transform you. It was in that wilderness that a man called Joshua was made. A man that arose without anything. Stood with his sword and commanded the sun to stand still. Where do you think he learned that from? He saw it with Moses in the wilderness. Every time God appeared to Moses, he would see the cloud. He saw that Moses carried an anointing that was related or relative to weather. Every time Moses would enter, he saw everything God was doing. And one of the things he took was faith. Transforms you. When you come out from a wilderness season, even you will know. Your humility ratio will increase. I'm telling you. Your faith level will increase because everything has failed except God. So there's no need to trust anybody. It will be easy to forgive because you've gone through the highest kind of pain and you didn't die. And then you experience the love of God. It is from that love that you can overflow to people. And when they see you forgiving people easily, they think you are foolish. No, you've gone through the wilderness. God has made you. He has transformed you from Chike to Christ. Yes, sir. You see, there are some of you, because of how far God has brought you, we can isolate you from your entire family. Even your family members know this one is different. Because they know what deals with them. I come from Plateau State. The tribe I come from, very proud and wonderful tribe, Tarok Nation. Mighty people, they are warriors by nature. But them and alcohol. You can literally kill them with alcohol. You can poison it. They will not know they will drink. They don't get drunk. Even in their drunken state, they can make sense. You have not seen that type. My people. After alcohol, women. So when I look at my life and don't see those things, I know, no. I'm only from there because my father is from there. A making process has separated me. Many of you don't know the things in your lineage, in your bloodline, that is haunting the destinies of great men. Allow God to make you in the wilderness. That's where circumcision happens. Not physical circumcision, but the circumcision of the heart. It will cut off that desire. When they put you with your tribal person, even your tribal people will deny you. Henceforth, know me no man after the flesh. I've set my own. You know your own tribe now. You know where you know what you go through. Margi, praise the Lord. All right. You see that anger, and that pride. When you have come out from the wilderness, you will look for it and not find it. You know, it's a normal thing with Margi men. They are very proud people. Natural Margi people, they are proud. And in case they are watching from abroad, except you are in Christ, you are a proud person if you are from Margi land. It's the truth. I'm not speaking against a tribe. I'm just identifying. Are you hearing me? They have a good part, but I'm talking about God making you. A natural Margi man is proud, has anger issues, and they believe in demonic supernatural more than God. That's why the way they want to know God as a Margi man, they believe in that kind of God that gives you oil today, candle tomorrow, water the next week.
A natural Margi person likes prophecy. Am I lying? Is that native doctor instinct in them? Yes, sir. I've been here for 12 years. I can tell you a thing or two about the tribes in the Northeast. Believe me. And that's the weakness. That's what the devil used to sabotage them. When last did you see any of them in a high position politically in this country? Oh, he's in the place of making. That's when God will show you the things that cripples the destiny of men in your tribe. You must fight it. For Judah, they like women. Women. Satan Judah slept with his daughter-in-law. He didn't know. And when it was David's time, the team followed him until God took him through 13 years of wilderness. God, so even when he became king, the human thing still stayed there. So God dealt with him with Absalom. When he returned after Absalom was killed, the Bible says the 10 concubines that he left, that Absalom slept with, he gathered them, gave them a house, gave them all they needed, and he did not sleep with them till the day he died. Even when he was to die, blanket could not keep him warm. They brought a woman for him to be sleeping with to keep him warm. He didn't touch the woman. That was when it was in his death that tribal thing left him. Allow God to make you. If not, the men that has come before you in your bloodline, the devil knows them. He has been bringing them down one by one. And that thing is in you. Allow God to take it off. Some of you come from tribal extractions that are wonderful, but polygamy is a natural thing in them. And the way you are going, if God does not deal with you, you want to rush and get married, you will soon get married to another wife very soon. Allow God to make you. Amen. That's why if you want to preach the gospel in Margi land, start with power first. Power. When they have seen power, then you can now tell them if you don't repent, you will likewise perish. And I love Margi people in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, before we pray, God leads us through the wilderness to hide you and keep you till your appointed time. Luke chapter 1 verse 80. The Bible says that he was in the wilderness. He was in the desert till the season of his appearing to Israel. God will hide you and keep you till your appointed time. And that's why he takes you through your wilderness experience. Has God spoken to us tonight? Have we been blessed at all? Open your mouth and speak to God where you are. In the multitude of all you have heard, open your mouth and talk to him. Lord, I surrender. I surrender to the wilderness seasons. I surrender to your dealings. I surrender. Make me. Build me. Transform me. Open your mouth and speak to God. Take the next 3 minutes and talk to God. The wilderness season is not a place to die. It's not a place of death. God does not take you through a wilderness experience because he hates you. No. He's a loving father. But there is a process for making men. There is a process for forging a mighty man. And only the wilderness carries the simulatory conditions for which you can be made. Lord, I surrender. Many of you have been running away from wilderness dealings. Can you surrender to him tonight? Lord, I surrender. I'm no longer running away. Make me. Expose what is in my heart. Expose the desires of the flesh. Do a work in me. Circumcise my heart. Please talk to God for the next 3 minutes. If you are concerned about your purpose, your destiny, your God-ordained destiny, if you are concerned about the promise and where God is taking you to, then say, Lord, I surrender. I sign up for the school of wilderness experiences. I sign up for the school of the Spirit. No matter what it takes, strengthen me to go through.
Open your mouth and talk to him. Open your mouth and talk to him. Open your mouth. There has to be something you are telling him right now. There has to be something you are telling him. For some of you, you need to pray and say, Lord, strengthen me to continue. You are about to give up. It's been 5 years. It's been 6 months. It's been 7 weeks. And it's not been easy. Lord, the strength to continue. The strength to continue. Giving up is not an option. Because I will abort the process. I will abort that which you have already begun to do. The strength to continue. He said to Paul the apostle, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Talk to him. 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 Open your mouth. One more minute. Lift your voice and pray. Santo lobo golema hasanga ba. Selamanda la ba di 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 di. Come on, speak to God. Some of you are about to give up. Some of you are about to run away. Some of us are saying, is this not too much? I've gone through enough pain already. But this is a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. God is not done with you. There's something he's making out of you. The delay is for a reason. The delay is for a reason. The delay is for a reason. There is purpose attached to your pain.
To us, O Lord, so take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will. Conform to yours, to yours, O Lord.
Hallelujah. Please rise on your feet. So we round up tonight. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. I want you to take the next 1 minute to pray this prayer passionately. A wilderness experience. A wilderness season is not meant to kill you. It is meant to make you, to transform you, to forge out a mighty man compatible with the image that is in Christ Jesus. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your pain. My strength is made perfect in your discouragement. In seasons of painful consecration, my strength is made perfect. When the devil is giving you options, run away and just settle down, do another thing with your life. My strength is made perfect. When you think about divine purpose, when you think about destiny, you don't want to abort the process. And listen to me, there is purpose attached to every pain you go through. David said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your commandment. There are things in the spirit you may not know until you have gone through seasons of suffering. You are going to pray and cry for grace. The grace not to run away. The grace to continue. Some of you are in the wilderness season where every investment you make is failing. And you are losing money so bad. You are almost thinking you are cursed. You are not cursed, sir. The hand of God is on your life. You are just going through a wilderness. Jesus was filled with the Spirit of God, but was led into the desert.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your gain will come after losses. Are you hearing me? Yeah, I know there are people who go through losses because of foolish decisions they made. And God is giving you wisdom. But for some of you, it's nothing more than a wilderness season. God is killing the attachment to money. That's why you lose 2 million. You lost 500,000. Even day before yesterday now, 250,000 has gone. Tomorrow now, you need to settle somebody you collected 100,000 for. It's a process. Now, the thing is, God will never allow them ridicule you more than what is allowed. For some, God may even allow you to be thrown into police cell. It may be part of your suffering. The disciples were imprisoned. I hope you know. The apostles were thrown into jail. God went and opened the jail and told them, go back to the same place where they arrested you. Go and preach. You are simply saying, go and be arrested again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They flogged them and said, never preach of this name. And the Bible says they were happy, counting it joyful enough to suffer for Jesus. You don't know where God is taking you to. I tell you the truth. God wants to build stamina. He wants to build strength. Those of you that God has promised you a financial future, I have good news for you. You will definitely get there if you don't abort the sufferings you are going through now. One of the things you know with people with financial destinies is that they will suffer lack of money where. If care is not taken, you would have been gone to EFCC once, police station three times before you are made. You see a big billionaire today, you think the money just fell from heaven. Ask them how many times EFCC called them. The head of EFCC himself said he investigated Pastor Jerry Eze for 6 months. 6 months! You like his anointing, ba? How do you stand in being investigated for 6 months? You are going to pray and say, Lord, I'm not running away. I receive the grace. I know you don't like the prayer. When we used to pray those days, me too, I didn't like it. We used to pray it and cry. But you are going to pray and say, Lord, the grace to continue, not to run. One of you now, you are about to run to Abuja. Because it's not working for you here. You're about to take off from Abuja to UK. Brother, remain in the wilderness. God is not done. Abuja is in your destiny, but not now. Don't be like Esau. He was going to eat anyway, but he sold his birthright because of what was going to be given to him. Pray and say, Lord, the grace to stay. Open your mouth. Take 2 minutes and cry. Take 2 minutes and cry. Take 2 minutes and pray. Please pray. Ola mando logo sana mande le bo do do mai ana mai. Se ke pala rada gaba. Iko baranda la barane o si amande. Hey yeah. Ko bara samba la gama. I surrender, I surrender, I wanna know you more, I wanna know you more, I surrender. Your will be done. The bridge, like a rushing wind, Jesus breathe within. Lord, have your way, Lord, have your way.
The wilderness season is the season for making. It's a season to know the Lord. That knowledge of God comes because God has isolated you from everybody, separated you from many distractions. A job can be a distraction. A marriage before divine timing can be a distraction. It's funny how that the will of God can be a distraction when it comes before time. God needs to separate you so you can know Him. And that's what happens in the seasons of your wilderness journeys. You get to know Him. You get to know Him. It is that knowledge of God with which you will do exploit. You are going to pray finally and say, Lord, in this journey, as I go through my wilderness experiences, help me to know you in Jesus' name. Take 30 seconds and pray. Please pray. Oh, this prayer is preparing you for what you will go through. This prayer will strengthen you in the midst of what you go through. Jonathan may not have the answers for what you are going through because it's a wilderness experience. So pray, Lord, help me to know you in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of hardship, in the midst of discouragement. Help me to know you. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands. Father, tonight we have learned from your word the importance and the existence of wilderness seasons. Lord, you know every one of us more than I know them. According to your divine timing, you know who is going through a wilderness phase in their journey. It's not because you hate us, you love us. But we must go through the fire to be refined. I pray for the grace to continue. The grace to be sustained. The grace to not give up. The grace for endurance. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help your children to know you in the midst of their wilderness experiences. Let them know you as the God that never fails. Like David, let them have encounters with you so that in the days of manifestation, they will shine as the stars of the firmament. I pray that the Lord will preserve you. And for many of you that have gone through a season of wilderness in your life, I pray that the grace of God will move you to your place of promise. In the name of Jesus Christ. May your relationship with God never suffer. May the presence of God be always around you. May you come to know that the Lord is always with you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are here tonight and before you go, you want to say yes to Jesus. You want to be born again and experience the life of Jesus. Or you want to rededicate your life afresh to God. You've been following Jesus, but it's been rough lately. And your heart is bleeding in many ways. You have been distracted. But you want to surrender again. You want to go back to those days when you enjoyed fellowship with God. And when you enjoyed the presence of God. I want to give you an opportunity to be restored today. Wherever you stand, here in this auditorium or you are following online, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I repent of my sin. I forsake my past. And I receive your eternal life. Thank you for saving me. I am yours now and forever. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you made that prayer with me, whether it's your first time or it's a prayer of rededication, you are now born again. A child of God, and you have the Holy Spirit at work in you. God wants to begin a fresh start with you. If you made that prayer with me sincerely, wherever you are, please lift up your right hand so I can see you. I want to say a prayer over your life before you go. tonight. You made that prayer sincerely. Please lift up right hand. Let me see you. God bless you. If you made that prayer, hallelujah. Anyone there? Anyone? Let's clap for Jesus.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.